You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I am still living with your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your downtown. I don't want to be your stupid game. With my big black boots and an old suitcase.
The event center space is great, multifunctional. It's a great design. But by no means are we building a conference center. I don't want anybody to think that the outcome of this plan is a conference center. It will not be something that is competitive with what they're doing in Mobile or compete with our peers over in Sandestin or really any other actual conference center.
Oh, no. This is Darren Schaefer, the CEO, I guess. He's the head of Visit Pensacola. And he was speaking at the Escambia County Commission meeting last week on Friday. When they had a weird Friday, it was a Friday meeting. Everything feels off to me because we had a Friday commission meeting. But, of course, this was during the very long conversation slash presentation about the proposed $100 million, like $135 million proposed renovation, expansion, massive redo, whatever, of the Bay Center and surrounding grounds, because it's not just the Bay Center itself. And, you know, the sell, and remember, if you go back in time, and we've been having this conversation for longer than I've lived here, you know, I've been here 12 years, and this conversation about the Bay Center goes back, like 30 years. In fact, one of the guys, it's kind of funny, one of the guys from the organization that was presenting was explaining, I think this was Bill Kruger from CSL, and he said that, you know, basically, my very first project in the industry was a Bay Center redesign feasibility study in the 80s.
CSL stands for Convention Sports and Leisure, and it's been around as long as I've been around with that company is about 30 years. And so we do projects all throughout the country. And one anecdote that that I think is kind of interesting is one of my earliest projects in my career was a convention center feasibility study in Pensacola. And here we are 30 years later, and we're still looking for a solution.
Sorry, 90s, not 80s. But still, that's like, that's a little rough. So this conversation's been going on a long time. And what Darren was saying is that the big sell on this, the big, you know, presentation and the big advantage is this is supposed to solve the problem of we cannot bring medium-sized conventions here. You get 400 people here, we can handle that one at a time. You get 500 people, we can't really do it.
We're working with the airport right now to bring in a regional conference that originally said, well, it'll be about 400 people, which we can accommodate. But when we did the pitch, that conference had already grown to 550, and they expected it could go bigger. When they come here, they're not going to be able to be that big because we just can't accommodate that.
Yeah, and that's been a problem for a long time, and we miss a lot of business because of that. Obviously, we are a great destination for conferences to come to because of all the things they can do downtown, because of the beach. There's lots to like about Pensacola. But we just don't have the meeting space, particularly we don't have the single large ballroom that they need to gather everybody into one place and have dinner. The largest one is at the Beach Hilton, and that one is only so large.
Instead of spending $30 million on...
Oh, sorry, that's the wrong clip. But, you know, that one is like 6,800, I think, square feet is what he said, or the presenter said. And what we need is something that will accommodate all the people in one place, and that just will not do it on the beach. So the pitch for the longest time has been, let's solve that problem. Okay, well, that's one goal. The other goal is to somehow take advantage of, you know, sports tourism, which is to have courts for volleyball, for basketball, for all various kinds of tournaments indoors sports tourism is a big draw, and they spend, you know, when people come here for conventions, they spend a lot of money in the local economy. When people come here for tournaments on the weekends, they spend a lot of money in the local economy. But that's a different kind of facility. Now, if you're sort of a normal person, you don't necessarily think about all the differences, and I don't know that I'm the best one to explain them all particularly, but the experts are clear as a bell that the facility you need for a convention has different needs and elements and niceties and whatnot than the space that you need for doing indoor sports tournaments. So you have, and by the way, if you have an indoor sports facility, you can also use that for some other things, but they're not the same. They don't overlap completely. So that's another need. And there's a lot of money to be had in that. A third need is to make the Bay Center itself both larger in capacity, which involves, you know, bigger seating capacity because the larger concerts or the next size up in concerts really need that extra couple of thousand people in order to be profitable for us to be competitive. And they need a larger variety of income types for each event. This is why if you watched any of the meeting, they had this big conversation about having these different, you know, box areas and different, I don't know, high-end rooms that people would go to, because it's not just that everybody wants to go to watch the game. They want to do all kinds of other things. So it's price point variety and diversity is also a key part. But in order to have that, you have to offer the nicer things, and that will require renovation. Okay, so that's three things so far that we're trying to accomplish. Thing number one, in an ideal world, we would have a better space to have concerts and events. Thing number two is we'd be able to handle sports tournaments, you know, tourism. And the third thing is that we'd be able to handle conventions, tourism. Those are not all the same. The fourth thing that's been pitched, and I mentioned this, it's important to get all this. The fourth thing that's been pitched is an ice sheet, a second separate ice facility. We have the indoor capacity at the Bay Center where the Ice Flyers play and where we use it for other things. But having a second ice sheet will require a second building of some kind, or a third, or actually in the case of the proposal we're talking about here, like a fifth building. But if you have another building that has ice on it, particularly if it's dedicated ice all the year round, that has advantages because now with two sheets of ice, you can do hockey tournaments. And travel hockey tournaments are a big money maker, potentially. There's nobody else within 300 miles that has anything like this. It would give us a unique selling point in the, again, sports, tourism, you know, tournament kind of arena, you know, industry. And it would also do the benefit of being able to move the Ice Flyers when they're doing practices over to the practice sheet, basically. So that would free up the Bay Center for other events, for other kinds of revenue. So there's four different things that we're trying to accomplish. And the question is, how do you do that and what is the priority for them? Well, as Darren Schaefer says, look, and again, his job is to bring people to Pensacola. And he says, look, we just don't have the capacity to do conventions, and that's what we should be focusing on. He loves sports. He loves sports tourism. He even loves, you know, the idea of an ice sheet, but
I am a big advocate of sports. I used to run a sports authority in another destination. I'm originally from Wisconsin. I know all about ice sports. I ran four sheets of ice. We did figure skating, hockey, speed skating, and it's great. It can be a great piece of business. However, the location and spending $30 million on a sheet of practice ice is hard to justify in that location. I'm all for exploring other locations. They're looking at putting a sheet of ice in Pace and get behind that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably close enough, I guess, to run. I don't know if you could run tournaments with Pace in Pensacola. Maybe you could, maybe you couldn't. But what he says is he loves ice. He loves sports. He just doesn't think that's the best use of the money to build that particular $30 million add-on.
But what we do need is a real ballroom and breakout space that, in addition to the 55,000 square feet of event space, now you do have a conference center, something that as a community we can actually be very proud of, because the event center by itself and taking one third and putting some carpet down doesn't make it a ballroom, doesn't make it a conference center, and doesn't put us in a competitive position.
Because we can't bring larger conferences here above about 450, okay, and because they need a space to gather, to have their keynote, to have their, you know, event, to have their fine dining or whatever. And that's not just going to be, you know, even though we can make the Bay Center work for things like, you know, coronation, okay, for Fiesta, that's not, and as having been to many coronations, I can tell you that's not the kind of space that people are going to pay a lot of money to come to Pensacola for a 700 or 800 person convention and go. That just it doesn't work for that. It's not the quality that they need. So he says, look, that's what we should be focusing on. And this proposal from Legacy, that's the company that's kind of changed hands. It used to be Legend, sorry, Global. Used to be ASM, and there's been some other names. But the point is now it's Legends. And they didn't present this as an alternative. They didn't give us a ballroom incorporated in the design, and that's one of the key limitations. Instead, we've got the second sheet of ice. Instead, we've got this big activity building and the renovations to the Bay Center. That doesn't accomplish the conference needs issue.
I'm surprised and a little disappointed that this is where we're at right now, but not even having any other options. This seems like we have this one option, and the other option of really doing a conference center wasn't even presented to the Board of County Commissioners.
Like that, as an alternative, wasn't given. Okay, so what is actually the plan, or what is the proposal? None of which was decided upon in the meeting, by the way. They did not say yes or no. They said, let's think about it. We've got questions. But if you put $70 million into the Bay Center, which is massive renovation of a very good building that's just not up to date and doesn't handle a lot of the needs and demands of modern, particularly concert venues, that would also renovate the outside so that you could sell the outside as a digital board that would be advertising money and so forth. Okay, that's part one. That's the easy part to understand because we all know the Bay Center. Part two, and all the other parts, basically get rid of almost all of the parking on the back lot on the east side of the Bay Center between the Bay Center and 9th. The first part, and there's a 85, some of the numbers here are a little fluid, so I'm not going to rely heavily on them. But one part is the event center, that big space to handle indoor tournaments. Okay, it's just a big box. That would be where the walkway is right now that goes out the backside of the parking lot, across the ditch where the turnaround is, basically for, you know, I-110 coming down there and going and the big U-curve. There'd be a building there. That'd be one. And then behind that, as in between that and 9th Avenue, would be the smaller but still fairly sizable $30 million ice rink. And then between the ice rink and the tech park, kind of working south on the 9th Avenue side, they want a hotel. And here's their answer to Darren Schaefer. They think that they can find a really high-quality hotel brand that will come and build a hotel on the back lot. The advantage of that is it will be connected to both the ice rink, it'll be connected to the Bay Center, it'll be connected to the event space, and that kind of a hotel will include a ballroom. The kind of hotel they're talking about, 200 rooms or so, will also include the ballroom that is so essential to making everything else work. So their pitch is, you guys don't build a hotel, we will help find you a hotel that'll be a private entity, but you'll have use agreements so that whatever's going on at the Bay Center or whatever's going on at the recreation facility or even what might be going on at the ice facility, if you have, you know, ice hockey tournaments, will have the ability to use the ballroom in a kind of, you know, agreement between us all that we manage this entire project for the benefit of the community and the county. And that may take some subsidization by the county to the hotel. So their answer is, we're not going to build a hotel, but one will come with this project. Otherwise, it doesn't really work. So questions remain. The overall price tag, will it really do what it says it's going to do? And I think that if the hotel comes, it probably will. But you still have at least two questions. One question is the hotel, okay? The other two questions are, this is a smaller one, is what about that U-curve off of I-110? That's expensive to get rid of. Now, FDOT has said that they're willing to do it, but we have put off getting rid of that because it's an expensive thing to do. I mean, millions of dollars. That's a part of the project cost, is to get rid of that turnaround. We don't really need it. Andrew McKay loves it personally. I use it every time I go downtown and have to go anywhere around Wright Street and park at the Bay Center. I use it, but, I mean, you know, we'll live without it for the good of the community. The other issue, and I didn't mean to save the worst thing for last, but the other issue is parking. Right now, there's somewhere in the vicinity of, I think it's like 1,300 or 1,400 spaces, either on the back lot or on the gravel lots across the street or in the front yard, so to speak, of the Bay Center. If you put buildings on the back lot, guess what? You can't put their cars. So you're going to lose about 400 spaces. You're going to lose about a third of the parking. And if you're going to have a convention area, if you're going to have two ice rinks, if you're going to have a hotel, if you're going to have tournaments, what do you need? Not less parking, but more parking. So what they need is in the vicinity of 2,000. And they're going from like 1,300-ish down to, you know, like 800 vicinity. So that's a problem. And unfortunately, their study did not really solve that problem. That's a big problem because, you know, structured parking is extraordinarily expensive. We're talking $30 million probably, something like that. Maybe more. I mean, the number running around is $30,000 to $40,000 per space. So if you put 1,000 spaces in, you're $30,000 to $40,000 or $30 to $40 million. Would it go at the tech park? Would it go somewhere else? Is there a solution for this? Well, not really. So what are the commissioners going to do? I don't know. They postponed a decision. They're going to come back and talk about it in a month or two. Nothing has been decided yet, and they have questions, some of which I have kind of alluded to, that need to be answered before any of this happens. But that's the discussion. Now, to me, I think the baseline question you can ask yourself is, if we're talking about a project that's somewhere in the 140, 150, 160, depending on what you do, including parking and a hotel, $1 million, would you be willing as a resident of Escambia County to put $500 of your own money into the pot? Now, they're not asking for that. This is not how it's going to get funded. But if you think about it, 330,000 people here, okay, times 500, that's about $160 million. That's the net cost to all of us to make this happen. On average, about $500 per person, per child, per old person, whatever. Do you think it'd be worth it for the community to basically obligate us about $500 per person to make this project happen? That's your best short math way to think about it if you want to. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
There's a parade somewhere.
You probably want to know about it.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Captain Caveman!
You didn't wake up this morning thinking to yourself, you know what I need today? I need more Soundgarden. But the truth is, you do. You really do. Like I was telling you yesterday, when I was on vacation, I watched Singles, which I had not watched in a long time. It's a great movie. And part of what made that movie great was, I mean, that is the definitive soundtrack for 90s grunge. There's so much good music on that soundtrack. It's amazing, honestly, all the different songs that are on there. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. With tensions still high in Minneapolis, top Border Patrol official Greg Bovino now leaving and returning to his old position in El Centro, California. Bovino's been serving as the Customs and Border Protection Commander at Large, which is largely seen as a temporary position. His departure comes, of course, as the Border Patrol is also planning to drop a number of agents in Minneapolis this week. All of this over that controversial shooting of Alex Preti.
I'm sorry, I thought I read yesterday that the White House was disputing that he was losing his position. because he's the one who said, you know, he came to do maximum destruction and do all kinds of damage and hurt law enforcement, basically. He was part of that press conference. But because I saw that, I thought, oh, he's, you know, kind of losing his position in the White House. Like, he's not losing his position. So
I do see that report now.
Yeah, so there's some conflicting information on what's happening with Bovino, just FYI.
Conflicting information. That would never happen.
No, that's never happened.
we'll keep digging at that and see what we come up with later today. Senate Democrats preparing to speed up passage of 5 government funding bills to avoid a partial government shutdown. Senator Chuck Schumer making that announcement yesterday. The Democrats' plan would exclude funding for the Department of Homeland Security. And boy, the death toll from that big storm hitting much of the nation now is up to several dozens of people, and there's still a lot of people out of power as well.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's going to be cold for the week, all week, even into the weekend, off and on, below freezing. And right now, I mean, it's in the 20s. Wind chill is below that, so, man, just be careful. It's colder than you think.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Changing of the guard for ICE operations in Minneapolis with Border Guard Tom Homan now on the ground.
Homan's deployment to Minnesota comes after internal frustration in the administration grew with the messaging that DHS leadership put out in the aftermath of Alex Petty's shooting, specifically their statement that he wanted to, quote, massacre law enforcement. Federal sources also say Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino is leaving Minnesota today.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, President Trump visits Iowa today for an event with Republican Congressman Zach Nunn, who earlier told Fox,
"What we're delivering for families, the largest tax cut in U.S. history. We're talking about biofuels that not only fill up your tractor or your truck, but also your minivan and your motorhome."
Many still without power in the South, sitting in frigid conditions. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got a frigid start to our day, 28 degrees with clear skies here this morning. We will get to our full forecast. Brooke Richardson's got that for us in just a few minutes. First, looking at our headlines today. Baldwin County power workers are headed to Mississippi to help restore electricity after the ice storms there. Riviera Utilities sent 2 crews with 16 workers on Monday morning. They're headed to Oxford, Mississippi. Baldwin EMC sending 27 workers later today. Of course, more than an inch of ice caused widespread outages there. Those crews could be deployed for up to 2 weeks. Human remains found in Walton County in 2022 have now been identified as Jacob Lyon, a Niceville teenager that went missing in 2015. Lyon was 19 at the time he disappeared. The remains were found by somebody cleaning a wooded area in Miramar Beach. DNA testing did confirm the teen's identity in early 2026. Authorities are now investigating how he died. A Pensacola gospel singer moving on to Hollywood. After earning a golden ticket on American Idol, Kayla Richardson, she auditioned last night with Glitter in the Air by Pink, bringing Judge Luke Bryan to tears. The 29-year-old music teacher at Life Shifting Learning Academy has been singing since age 5. She brought her son, Drew, to meet the judges and performed for him. Richardson previously landed in the top 4 on BET's Sunday Best Show and earned a number 1 hit on Billboard's gospel airplay chart. Now, the waterfront rescue missions definitely had a lot of people there the last few nights, hundreds of them, as temperatures have dropped below freezing. The nonprofit entered its emergency cold weather plan with extended hours and unlimited capacity. Vice President Mark Isbell does say they serve 600 to 700 meals per day during these cold weather spells as well. The mission also saying they need volunteers and cold weather items like jackets and gloves. Pensacola Beach's shared use path could soon be a little bit easier and possibly safer to navigate if Escambia County lands some state funding. County commissioners voted unanimously on Thursday to apply for an FDOT grant to design and construct an accessibility and safety upgrades along the path on Fort Pickens Road and Via de Luna Drive. The Center for Independent Living is backing the effort.
We will be writing and submitting that. We've already been in contact with your office, Ashley, and so we'll be turning that in for that. And we want to see continued opportunity for growth and development of making access to all parts of our community grow and continue to be developed.
Carolyn Growley there with the Center for Independent Living, and the county's application targets improvements on that path with the goal of making the beach more accessible for people with disabilities. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with Brooke Richardson, get a look at our weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at temperatures starting off very cold this morning, but getting around 59 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44. As you head into Wednesday, some cloudy skies with a high near 62 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. As you head into Thursday, going to be staying chilly and breezy through the day, sunny skies, high near 49. Stay connected to Channel 3 News for Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 25 degrees right now, what we're seeing. And our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Google has agreed to pay $68 million to settle a class action lawsuit that alleged the technology giant's voice assistant had illegally recorded users and then shared their private conversations with advertisers. Some claimants allege the Google devices recorded private conversations about financial issues, personal decisions, and employment. TikTok users have been deleting the app at a higher rate since the company announced that its U.S. operations would be housed in a new joint venture. Sensor Tower data says that the daily average of U.S. users deleting the TikTok app has increased nearly 150% over the past 5 days compared with the previous 3 months. President Trump says he will hike tariffs on autos, pharmaceuticals, and lumber from South Korea from 15 to 25%. Trump cited a delay in the South Korean legislature approving a trade deal with the United States. Futures are currently mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 313, the NASDAQ up 100. That's Your Money Now.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday, enjoy Mardi Gras in Milton with the 8th annual Crew of Airship Pirates Mardi Gras Parade. The beads start to fly at 3 o'clock. The 5th annual Pas de Gras event will be Sunday from 11 till 4 on the closed down Garden Street between Tarragona and Palafox. Enjoy the parade, costume contests, vendors, and fun. Find out more at visitpensacola.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone now, actually from Jacksonville, of all places, one of the top 10 swamp cities of Northwest Florida, as the good place referred to it, Bob Johnson, the sheriff, Santa Rosa County Sheriff. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. You're there for the sheriff's conference, right? Which, you know, you have to go to a lot of these things, so.
Well, it's two a year, so it's the winter conference.
Anything interesting going on that we ought to know about? Anything worth your time over there?
The governor's going to come speak to us, and the attorney general, and couple of senators, Speaker of the House, that kind of thing. So okay. We'll get some information over the next couple of days for sure.
All right. Take good notes for me and tell me cool stuff that they say when you come back to town. We'll talk about it next Monday. I think it was last week, maybe on Tuesday. I'm sorry. When I'm on vacation, my sense of time goes a little bit different. There was a threat to Hobbs Middle School, which wound up in a lockdown. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And, we responded. Milton PD responded. We had a lot of different agencies that came together, and it went seamlessly. We had some parents that got, obviously, they were scared and came to the scene. But we took care of business, and nobody got hurt, and there was nobody, it was a threat over the phone. And we're still currently working to track that down and hopefully arrest this person.
I know City of Pensacola PPD had a thing on last week, from Thursday or Friday, I forget, maybe it was Friday, where they had a spoofing where somebody called from a fake number to report they were in the parking lot getting ready to attack the Walmart. I happen to actually have been at the Walmart, I guess, around the time when the phone call came in, and I saw the deputies heading that way. Do we think this was one of those kind of an intentional spoofing kind of things, or what did we think at this point?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. Okay. This happens a lot. But what people don't understand is, you can't track these numbers normally, but there are certain things that I won't discuss, but there are certain ways that we can locate somebody, even on what they call a burner phone. We can still track them down. So hopefully there'll be arrests forthcoming, and, we'll send a message.
I'll take it. And by the way, just the reason I had heard about this was because I was listening to the Santa Rosa County School Board meeting, and Dr. Barber was talking about how, coincidentally, they and you guys had run a tabletop exercise at Hobbs previous to this, so you had not just practice, but practice on site, right?
Yes. Yeah. And, it was fortunate it was Hobbs Middle School, because, like you said, we'd been there, done that, and went off seamlessly.
Great. Wow, that's great to hear. I think two different incidents, correct me if I'm wrong, but one was you had four different people arrested in Santa Rosa County maybe a week or so ago for a burglary of some kind. Is that right?
Yeah, we've had a couple of different incidents when it comes to the burglaries, but we've closed all of them by arrest, which is a good thing. One of which was in the bar where a guy was burglarizing a place, and he was armed with an AR-15 and got caught on surveillance camera. So, I'll tell you this much. When it comes to burglary in Santa Rosa County, you just don't want to do it because we will get you.
So you got the four people in the one case, and you got that suspect who was menacing with the AR, which is just for people who may not realize this, that's no different than if you used a handgun or a shotgun. It's just that some people find it a little bit scarier looking. But really, in practice, as the law goes, it's a gun, it's a gun, it's a gun, right?
Correct. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And it escalates. It goes from burglary, which is a third degree, up to a second degree, I believe, for armed burglary. So
very good. Anything else that you need to know about, anything else you got coming up? Because I know I want to talk with you about Minnesota, but before I want to make sure we have time for that. But anything else going on that you want to let Santa Rosa residents know about, either storm preparations or anything like that for the cold, your officers, how they handle it?
Yeah, just to make sure you take care of your pets and everything, bring them inside. It's definitely going to be a cold one, so at least no snow is expected that I'm aware of.
Not this time. We got it a week ago. We didn't get this time, right? So we'll take that. I did want to ask you a little bit, because obviously everybody is thinking about this, the incident that took place in Minnesota over the weekend. I think it's a much more complicated set of events than some people will admit, but I wanted to get your take on it. I've offered my take. You and I talked a little bit about this beforehand, so you kind of know where I've been coming from. It's not a brilliant idea to interpose yourself when ICE is involved in something, but simply carrying a gun does not put you at risk of dying, and is a lawful activity unless you brandish it or use it illegally or use it against law enforcement officers. But in this situation with the melee and the scrum and the series of events, it looks an unjustified shooting, but I wouldn't describe it as a murder, but we're obviously gonna have to wait to see what charges happen. What's your take on the whole situation? Say anything you want.
Yeah, it's terrible for, obviously it's terrible for the family of the guy who got killed, but also the officers. They're putting them in such a position where they're getting overwhelmed. You have 500,000-600,000 protesters, and then you're going to have like 50 cops, and they get overwhelmed. They get stuff thrown at them. They get all kinds of things, going on. And unfortunately, that ramps up the adrenaline, And then one thing can lead to another, and then you have a tragedy like this. But, yeah, I don't think it rises to the level of murder, but obviously there were some mistakes made that are going to have to be atoned for. So,
what is the protocol? Because the thing that I thought was – it does not justify the shooting, but the thing that seemed most on the side of justifying it was that the one officer grabs the gun out of his waistband, so he's disarmed at that point. And somebody, it was not clear exactly who, yells gun, gun, gun. And then apparently another officer draws and shoots, and not just shoots the first set of volleys, but the second round of fire, which I think is completely unjustified. If your officers hear somebody say gun, 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 is that does not justify a shooting. You're still responsible for your trigger seeing a threat, right?
Yeah, yeah. And just because you say gun, 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 you know, our officers are trained. We have a simulator. And they go through all kind of different training with guns, knives, whatever. But just because somebody yells it doesn't mean you get to kill people. It doesn't work that way. You have to be in imminent threat of your fear of your life being taken. Then you can respond. You can't just start, oh, somebody said gun. Let me kill somebody. It doesn't work that way.
And, you know, you and I have talked about this so many times, but I just want to make sure people are super lucid, clear about all this stuff, that the challenges put on law enforcement officers are tremendous. And I think of the case in Okaloosa County where the, you know, the airman comes to the door with a gun pointed down and the deputy killed him. And that was unjustified because, you know, he's not menacing. He's not threatening. He's on his own private property. That is a very hard situation, but that literally is the job. That is the law, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, in that scenario, everybody gets second guess. We have to make decisions in real time in split seconds. And basically, we have to be right all the time. And you do something that's, you know, like that Okaloosa deputy, which it was terrible. I mean, it was really horrible. But, you know the police are at your door. Why come to the door with a handgun in your hand if you know it's the police? So it's a little bit on that, but he had no reason to shoot him, none whatsoever. So he's probably going to end up in prison, I would imagine. But we get put under those kind of pressures every single day, and 99.9% of the time, the officer makes the correct decision, makes the good call, and you don't hear about that.
Yeah.
But that 0.01% where something like this happens, you're going to hear about that for years, and it's over and over and over. So it just comes with the job.
And you know, it's actually, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because I remember years ago, there was a PPD incident where they arrested somebody, and I believe the perpetrator had a gun. And I sent it up to the Fox National to play on the radio, which they took it. But the story was, you know, man involved in armed scuffle doesn't get shot. Like, PPD used restraint. And, you know, that is the story most of the time. This kind of incident grabs our attention because obviously somebody died, and it should grab our attention. But there are thousands of incidents where this doesn't happen, and those don't get near the attention. The other thing I was going to just make sure to be crystal clear with you, I want to make sure you confirm this or whatever, is it is completely lawful to show up to a political demonstration, to a rally, as long as it's not in a sensitive place, and simply possess, in Florida even openly, but certainly concealed, to possess a gun. There is no violation in that, even if law enforcement's around, right?
Correct. Correct. Now, the only time that comes into play is that you brandish it. You know, obviously you can be arrested for that. But, yeah, if you just have it on your person, yeah, it's not illegal.
I have been very surprised, disappointed, frankly, that some of our leaders in Washington have said, you know, they have taken an opportunity to make it worse instead of making it better by saying things that were either false or legally false. And I talked about that quite a bit last hour. Anyway, anything else you want to say about this whole situation or what your law enforcement officers do, how they're trained? I don't want to fail to ask the right question, but if there's anything you want to add, feel free to add it.
Yeah, no, I just tell everybody out there that we train a lot. We spend a lot of money on this system we have that puts our officers under pressure and they have to make split second decisions. And if you want to make a mistake, that's where you want to make a mistake, in the simulator. That's when you make a faux pas. That's where it needs to be. It doesn't need to be on the street where somebody actually loses their life. So we put a high premium on training under stress, and I think it's paying off.
No, that's Thank you. Exactly right. The way you train is the way you behave. Make the mistakes first, train it right, and then get it right so you do it right on the street. Bob Johnson, he is the Santa Rosa County Sheriff in Jacksonville for the Sheriff's Association Conference. Sheriff, as always, thank you so much for the time and keeping us informed and keeping us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
And you know, that's one of the reasons why I always cherish being able to hear directly from our local law enforcement professionals, our sheriffs in both counties, because, you know, obviously I have my own views. I've tried to become as educated on these matters as a civilian can be, but there's always a part of it that's like, well, let's wait and talk to the sheriff and let's see what they say. And, you know, when they say exactly the same thing that I was saying, it's very reassuring, but it's also, it's frustrating because I think, well, if I can sort of see this clearly and get the law right, and the sheriff or sheriffs, you know, I haven't talked to Chip yet, but he's on today. I don't know if we'll talk to this or, about this or not, but, you know, possibly. You know, if we can get this right, why is it so hard for sort of national news and or people on social media to just see it clearly? It's actually not that hard to see the events, especially in this case where we've got like videos from six different angles or whatever. It's not that hard to just accurately describe what happened. Of course, I know that part of the problem people have is that they're heavily invested in being on one side or the other. And all I would suggest to you, all I would hope for you is come over to the side where the thing we care the most about is just the truth. Where we, you know, if the truth is inconvenient for my side, well, so be it. But my side is, you know, truth. And if ICE behaves right and gets accused of doing wrong, well, I want to be on the side that says they were right. And if ICE or somebody does something wrong, I want to be on the side that says they did it wrong. Being loyal to law enforcement shouldn't lead you to hiding the mistakes and errors. It should move you towards revealing them and talking about them and being honest about them. Because if you care about good policing, you should care deeply about mistaken policing or bad policing or evil policing, whatever the case may be. Don't exaggerate. Just tell things as they are. And if that's inconvenient for your side, well, so be it. Team truth is the side I want to be on all the time. And that's why I said yesterday that I, you know, and I said it kind of again in that interview a little bit, is what frustrated me after the fact was the people, I mean, you know, I know the people on the left, you know, so-called, okay, are exaggerating and mistaking. But so are the people on the right. So are the leaders in Washington. So many, you know, from Kristi Noem to Kash Patel to Bovino, just said things that did not help, things that were inaccurate, things that made the situation worse instead of making it better. And what we look to in our political leaders, among other things, is when something bad happens, whatever the bad is, their job is to make it better, not worse. And they made it worse, a lot worse, which is very disappointing. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one and two bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, Energy Star rated appliances, granite countertops, and for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one bedroom apartments for $799 and two bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview, location, community, quality living, all starts at Princeton Grove.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Is it dead?
Terminated.
I wanna be a rock star.
You know, one more thought on the Minnesota thing that has to do with a lot of other things as well is I know some people really hate the idea that we have so much video of everything, everywhere, all the time. I understand that concern. We talked a little bit about this yesterday in connection with the Flock license plate reading cameras. But let me propose a thought to you. This shooting that took place in Minnesota, we have, like I said, what, 5-6 different videos from people's cell phones. The prior event with Robin Good, I was worried that I've got said her name wrong, but that's the woman in the minivan, right? Same thing. There was one or two immediate videos, and then several other videos came out eventually. Even in the presence of fairly or very clear video evidence, you still have a lot of disagreement over the incident and a lot of people who lie about the incident, right? Okay. But for those of us who really care about just getting the facts right, we can get the facts right because we have so much video evidence. There's always going to be some people who will get it wrong. There's always going to be some people who cannot see it right because of their biases, and some people who lie about it. But the abundant availability in most situations of video means that those of us who really care about just knowing what happened can find out what happened. George Floyd. We know what happened. We've seen it. It was murder. We've seen it. Okay? Part of the problem historically with a lot of these inflammatory incidents is precisely that we didn't have video of them, or we only had partial video. You know, famously the Rodney King, you know, didn't have the lead up. But think about particularly in Ferguson. Right? We didn't have video of what happened in the shooting. And Ferguson burned because we didn't have video, because what actually happened was Michael Brown was completely in the wrong and Officer Wilson was completely in the right. As I've said a million times, if I've said it once, the Obama administration Department of Justice investigation into that incident completely exonerated the police officer. Hands up, don't shoot is a complete lie. It didn't happen. Everything that was ever said about that story was refuted eventually in the investigation. But there wasn't video to show it. And Ferguson burned because of it. So even though these incidents are bad, I'm grateful that we have video almost all of the time when they take place. Because at least the video makes it usually pretty clear what happened. And for those of us who actually care about knowing the truth of a thing, we have the evidence. Because so many times when bad things happen, we don't have video or haven't had video, or things that aren't bad get lied about because we don't have video, haven't had video. So just something to think about. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day, a day set aside each year to remember the millions killed by the Nazi Third Reich during World War II. Some 12 million people were systematically murdered between 1933 and 1945. Senate Democrats are preparing to speed up passage of five government funding bills to avoid a partial government shutdown. Senator Chuck Schumer making that announcement Monday. The Democrats' plan would exclude funding for the Department of Homeland Security. And if you're curious on what President Trump is up to today, he is headed to Iowa. The White House says he'll be speaking in Clive. I believe that's right outside of Des Moines, one of the suburbs there.
Kicking off his third term campaign?
Says he's going to talk about affordability and energy.
Oh, okay.
Not quite as exciting as that, but close.
David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, man, you know, I was opposed to giving former felons who have served their time the opportunity to vote, but the public disagreed with me and we passed that amendment. And the legislature has been slow walking implementation of this ever since. You now have a couple of bills in the Tallahassee and in the Senate that have passed committee by two Democrats that are good bills. You know, Lori Berman is running one of these bills. And one of the things it does is it just clarifies for people what is the actual status of their, you know, what are the points against them? What are the marks against them? And what is their process towards getting their voting rights restored? I don't like the idea of voting rights getting restored, but I respect the process. And once we vote on it, it ought to be very clear, simple, and easy for felons who qualify to get their voting rights restored. And it has not been, and that is offensive to me, even though I disagree.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Tom Holman's in, Greg Bovino's out. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. After Saturday's controversial shooting that left a protester, Alex Preti, dead in Minnesota, President Trump has put Tom Holman, his border czar, in charge of immigration enforcement operations there.
He will be reporting directly to the president. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino had been acting as the Border Patrol lead here, even hosting daily press conferences, really the face of the operation here. But Bovino is now returning to be sector chief in El Centro, California, and other Border Patrol agents are leaving as well.
Fox's Matt Finn in Minneapolis.
Yesterday, the president said he had constructive calls with Governor Walz and Mayor Fry. Walz writing afterward, I told them we need impartial investigations of the Minneapolis shootings involving federal agents and that we need to reduce the number of federal agents in Minnesota.
Now an update on the protests in Iran, stopped by deadly force.
At least 6,126 people were killed in the Iranian government's crackdown on protests. That from the U.S.-based human rights activist news agency, which verifies each death with its network in Iran. But the group warns the true total may be higher still.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. Those protests against the regime in Iran were sparked by economic problems in that country. And today, Iran's currency fell to a record low against the U.S. dollar. The storm's over, but the problems aren't. After 18 states got a foot of snow and much of the south glazed over by ice, there are still more than a half million power outages, many in the Nashville area, where it's 9 degrees right now. Mike Diggs with Middle Tennessee Electric just told Fox it's tough work.
Tree limbs are steadily falling. We've had some crews that put a pole up yesterday, and as they were driving out, another tree fell behind them and broke a pole behind them, so they had to start right back over.
And airlines are still recovering. Another 1,300 flights canceled today after 22,000 cancellations Saturday through Monday. America's listening to Fox News.
Hear that? Mm-mm-mm. That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's. Just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu. The daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu, medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
President Trump's changes in Minnesota, putting Border Czar Tom Holman in charge of immigration enforcement operations, comes as some of his fellow Republicans become more critical.
Defense attorney Chris Maddle was running as a Republican for governor of Minnesota. He says he's dropping out because of the federal immigration crackdown.
I cannot support the National Republican's stated retribution on the citizens of our state
nor can I count myself a member of a party that would do so.
Maddow has provided free legal advice to the immigration officer who shot and killed Rene Good in Minneapolis. He says he initially supported Operation Metro Surge, now calling it an unmitigated disaster. And pragmatically, he says, it's nearly impossible now for a Republican to win a statewide election in Minnesota. He says he'd run as an independent if he had the millions of dollars it would take to do it. Chris Foster, Fox News.
Now, the president will focus on the November elections today, going to Iowa as he tries to keep Republicans in control of Congress.
President Trump is headed to a town just outside of Des Moines, Iowa. White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt confirmed Monday.
He will be making a local visit at a local business, and then he will be giving a speech on affordability and on the economy. And I know he very much looks forward to being there, to meeting with the great people of Iowa, but also lawmakers as well.
Chief of Staff Susie Wiles has said the president will be traveling weekly ahead of this year's midterms. Recent polling has the president's approval rating anywhere between 39 and about 42%, depending on the poll. Before the 2018 midterms, President Trump's approval rating was in the low to mid 40s, poll depending, when Democrats flipped 41 House seats. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Well, the president might not like what the Fed does or doesn't do this week. A two-day Federal Reserve meeting will soon start, expected to wrap up tomorrow without an interest rate cut. There were three rate cuts last year, but the president thinks they were too small and too late. On Wall Street, stock futures are mixed ahead of the opening bell. At tennis's Australian Open, top men's seed Carlos Alcaraz advanced to the semifinals today. So did Elena Svitolina on the women's side, beating American Coco Gauff. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Good morning, 6:05 at News Radio 92.3. It's a cold start to the day. 25 degrees, clear skies right now. We'll check our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. First, let's take a look at our traffic on the fives. We head back into the studio. Check in with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Not showing any slowdowns in Pine Forest or Carr City. The front gate of NES Pensacola backed up to Inner Bay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Well, Escambia County's unemployment rate is inching in the right direction, but is still higher than the rest of the state. The county's jobless rate dropped to 5.2% for December. That's down from 5.6% in November. Even so, that is a jump from last year when unemployment sat at about 3.4%. Local economist Rick Harper says job growth in the Escambia-Santa Rosa area is basically flat right now, with more than 7,600 people actively looking for work in the last month. Harper says that hiring usually is slow this time of year, though, but he expects things to pick up in March and April. By comparison, the statewide unemployment rate is currently at 4.3%. Escambia County Commissioners moving forward with plans to improve safety and accessibility on the beach. The board voting unanimously last week to pursue state funding through a Florida Department of Transportation grant. If approved, that grant would help pay for design and construction upgrades along the shared use path on Fort Pickens Road and Via de Luna Drive. Their goal is to make it easier and safer for everybody to access the beach, especially people who have disabilities.
It's wonderful to be able to come up and see that we're talking about accessibility and inclusion, and I am very in favor, and so is the Center for Independent Living, to know that we are talking about creating more access and inclusion over at the beach.
Carolyn Grawley with the Center for Independent Living at last Friday's Escambia Board of Commissioners meeting. She says her organization is backing the application with a letter of support. The proposed improvements would benefit pedestrians and cyclists along one of the busiest beach corridors. Well, if you got junk piling up, you might be looking forward to this year's Pensacola neighborhood cleanups. News Radio's Austin Price with a little bit more on when and where you can take part in the first one of the year.
The cleanup is set for this Saturday, January 31st, in the downtown area and surrounding neighborhoods. Items must be placed curbside by 7 a.m. Saturday morning, but not before Wednesday. The cleanup includes appliances, furniture, mattresses, tires, and paint cans, but building materials, chemicals, and yard waste will not be collected. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thanks for that update, Austin. Parents might want to take note of some new findings involving candy sold in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis saying yesterday that the Department of Health tested 46 candy products from 10 different companies, and apparently arsenic was found in more than half of them. The governor said additional testing is being done to better understand any potential risks to kids. He said the effort is part of the state's broader push to make America healthy again. Full test results and more information are available online at exposingfoodtoxins.com. 6:08, let's check our forecast.
We are going to be looking at temperatures starting off very cold this morning, but getting around 59 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44. As you head into Wednesday, some cloudy skies with a high near 62 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. As you head into Thursday, going to be staying chilly and breezy through the day, sunny skies, high near 49. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the W.